Good morning. You're listening to WDRT in Viroqua. My name is Steve Brandl. The name of our show is Conversations, and today we're excited to have visiting with us Joel Torino, who is the proprietor of Soulful Saunas, and he's from right here in Viroqua. So welcome, Joel.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and you've been in business quite a while here in Viroqua. Tell us more about that.
Well, my wife and I, Julie, started the business in 2020, started off just, you know, building our own sauna and building a handful over the course of 21. And ever since then, it's picked up quite a bit. And so in the past 4.5 years, we've made over 90 saunas.
Okay.
In a variety of configurations, you know, inside, outside, wood-fired, electric. I mean, very diverse as far as construction goes.
Sure. And so have you been doing this all your life, building saunas? Or what brings you to Viroqua and what gets you into making saunas?
Well, so I grew up in northern Michigan, in the UP, a little town called Ishpeming, just outside of Marquette. And so my grandparents on my mother's side came from Finland in 1910, and he was a Koskinen and worked in the iron ore mines. A lot of immigrants from, you know, northern Europe came to the UP because it was very similar to their homeland, and the iron ore mines up there were big in looking for folks, and so that's where a lot of immigrants ended up going there. And working. And so my grandfather came on my mother's side, came here in 1910. And so the Finnish culture has been big in our family. My mother was the middle of 10 children and focused really hard to keep the Finnish culture alive, Finnish baking, Finnish activities. And her sister had a place just down the end of the street from us, and so they had a wood-fired sauna. So it was every Friday night, we're down at Auntie Eileen's having sauna. And so it was a very much a routine, a ritual, a thing you do. You know, we'd go in with my brothers and my dad, and, you know, it's, you know, 180 degrees inside of there, and very traditional wood-fired. A lot of steam, a lot of hot rocks. And then, of course, you've got the outside in the UP with the nice weather. You go out and cool off. And so it really got to be a ritual for us.
Right. And did most of those traditions of sauna, you know, it was a Saturday night thing. It was kind of like what you did in lieu of bathing or in addition to bathing? Or how did all that work? Because I know there's a lot of misinterpretations of what the sauna is. So
yeah, well, in the Finnish culture, I mean, it's more of a lifestyle, and so not always would they replace as bathing, but they would just use it as relaxation. A lot of folks would do it just on a weekly basis, on a Friday or Saturday night. I mean, we always used to joke about, you know, you take it on Saturday night so you're clean for Sunday church, right?
Right.
You know, and so it's very diverse in how people will use the sauna. Mm-hmm. Some people use it all the time. Some people never shut it off. It's always hot. And I know a lot of folks who, in the morning when a sauna is still warm, is when they would use it to raise their bread.
Okay.
And so, you know, you use the heat for multiple purposes.
Sure.
And then all it takes is a couple sticks of wood and it's back up to a nice sauna temperature for steam.
Right.
You know, so it's very mixed as far as how people use the sauna.
Sure.
But what it does is it enhances the lifestyle of being healthy, being clean, and it really pulls families together because it's, you know, the Finnish culture is where the whole family saunas together. And, you know, there are more saunas in Finland than there are cars. There are just, it's that much.
To this day?
To this day. There are there's that many saunas. And so it really is just a mixture of what your lifestyle, what you want in the sauna to incorporate into your lifestyle, you know.
And are there other cultures throughout the world that do sauna or facsimile thereof?
A lot of Northern European did it. I mean, the Polish folks and Russians, and I mean, I've made saunas for multiple ethnic folks who say, "I want a banya, just like Grandpa used to have," and so I think the Finnish population really popularized saunas, but I'm sure that, you know, through Northern Europe, where the weather and climate warranted that, I mean, it was very popular.
Right.
Yeah. It's just not the Finns, but the Finns really are kind of the ones that I would say promote.
Sure. You know? And the tradition, obviously, in the United States, it's only 200 years or something like that. But in Finland, then, that goes back centuries?
Centuries, yes. Yeah, a long, long time. I mean, there's wonderful stories of even during, the different wars that would happen, that the Finnish soldiers would build saunas, right? And that's how they would rest at night, you know? And they talk about the Cold War between Finnish and Russia, where they had, if it wasn't for the saunas, they won because they were able to rest, and you know.
Sure.
So there's interesting.
So they just dig it in the side of a hill and find a stove?
They wouldn't even do the stove. They would pile rocks. A lot of these were smoke saunas. And so they would even just take branches and make this big Quonset hut out of branches, and then pile stones, build a fire underneath the stones. When the fire went out, the stones were still emitting all this heat. And so that's how the original smoke saunas were used. And Native Americans even still use that, where they would have smoke saunas.
Like, right? A sweat lodge, am I
sweat
right?
Sweat lodge, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the fire energy would go into all these stones that were piled. When once the smoke's gone away, the energy is still in the stones. And so then they would use the stones for even hot stone massage, or putting water on the rocks and creating the loili, as the Finns call it, or the steam in the room for the benefits of the body.
Right. And are those benefits agreed upon or like documented, besides the relaxation part of it and the cleanliness part of it and things? Is it just like a warm bath or that sort of thing?
There's been a lot of documentation and studies, about the benefits of the sauna. And, uh-huh. It's very vast, you know, everything from considering it like a mild exercise, because it raises your blood pressure, it raises your heart rate, and it really helps you to sweat. And that sweating causes your body to respond in different ways. And, some folks say, well, you know, I'm not supposed to use the sauna. Well, you can go in at 110, 115, 120 degrees and still have a very nice relaxing use of the steam, a little bit of the heat. And plus, we build the saunas with different bench heights, so you can get your body up near the ceiling where it's nice and hot. Or if you get too hot, then you can go down to a lower bench. You can lay down on the benches. There are many, many ways that people will utilize the sauna to benefit themselves, but yet not overtax themselves.
Right.
You know?
And are there parts of the country that where sauna is more popular? Is it a colder climate thing, or is it everywhere?
Well, it's typically colder climate. I mean, you don't find as many down in Arizona and New Mexico as you do, you know, up in, you know, the northern climates, you know, north, you know. The temperature has a lot to do with it. And I think a lot of it also is the perception that, you know, I'm in a hot climate, why should I go into a hot room? Right. Mm-hmm. But that's because of, you know, we're living in air conditioning and we feel that's comfortable. Now, I come here to the farmer's market. I have a portable sauna that I rent. And it's a great way for folks to get to experience a traditional wood-fired sauna without having the huge commitment of building one, they get to experience it. And so I'll be at the farmer's market with it, where I'm talking to folks, and it's 85 degrees outside. And people will tell me, you know, and they joke, you know, boy, it's hot as a sauna out here.
Right.
Well, the thing, and I try to explain to people, is that the 170 degrees that's in the sauna is a different heat, a different humidity level, a different sensation to your body than being out in an 85-degree summer day that has high humidity, which your body feels is uncomfortable. Where in the sauna, it your body responds to it in a different way, and so it has a different effect on you. It actually stimulates you once you rest and hydrate than being out in the hot summer day that makes you feel sleepy and groggy and, you know.
Right.
You know, so.
Right, and talk about the humidity, because, I mean, a lot of saunas that I've been in, you know, they have the rocks over the top and you drizzle water over it and things like that. What does the humidity do? What does adding that steam actually do for you?
So the Finns call it the magic loily. The loily is the steam that comes off the rocks when you put the water on it. And I tell folks there are, in my opinion, as a sauna builder, there are three main parts to the sauna. You have the temperature, which is everybody's got kind of a sweet spot for that. And your tolerance actually changes. So, you know, I've had customers who will go into the sauna, they first get one, and they start off at 130, 140 degrees, and as they start using it, their body tolerance changes, and they start to increase their temperature. And I have one lady who has a sauna down in Lake Geneva, and she started off 140 degrees, and after about 6 months, she was sending me pictures of her thermometer where she's 175, 180 degrees.
Wow.
And she is now chopping her own firewood. She is hauling her own water, and it has changed, right? So that temperature you adjust to yourself. Some people will, in their families, they will, as the temperature is rising, some people will go in when it's not so hot because that's what works for them. Children, you know, some elderly people. But then, you know, as the temperature gets up to a target temperature, then more of the adults will go in and use it. And so you have the temperature, and then you have the steam, the magic loily. Okay, that is really stimulates the body. It stimulates it's like the adrenaline starts to kick in a little bit, and so it gives you this higher heart rate. Not really heavy, but it's like a light exercise. And as you start to feel the effects of the sauna, you can adjust how long you stay in, right? And so putting the steam on helps create this kind of steam that circulates your around your body. You breathe it in, it gets into your lungs, it starts to affect how the blood flows within your body, right? And then the third part that I talk about with folks is the rest afterwards, the cooling down and the hydration, because it is so important that your body is excreting and it's sweating, and so you need to put that water back in, and so you have to hydrate. And then resting afterwards, I tell folks to try to make a calm, pleasing place to rest, you know, because, you know, the phrase is that a person is their most beautiful an hour after sauna.
Okay.
So what that means is that you've sweated, you've exerted a little bit, you've hydrated, and you've rested, and now you're really peaceful with yourself. And so those are the three big things. And so when people say that you know you're not supposed to put water on the stove, which is really not traditional, that's really what you want to do. The saunas that I design and build, every one of them, you can put water on the stones. Now, electric stoves, you still can put them on, and they wouldn't sell them in the market if you couldn't. But you have to be a little more gentle on how much you put on, because you don't have the rock mass or the amount of rocks on a electric stove as you do on a wood stove. A wood stove, typically you'll have 125 to 150 pounds of stones on top of that stove. And so you have 500 pounds of steel and stone that's hot. Mm-hmm. And so you can put a fair amount of water on there because it will turn into steam. But then also you create a very high volume of steam. And oftentimes it'll be overwhelming. And so you have to learn how to manage that. The electric ones have a smaller rock base, you know, 40 to 50 pounds, and they're designed so if you put too much on, the water will run out the bottom. Okay. So you're wasting it, right? And so, you know, it's an education about how much, when, and how frequently do you put it on that gives you the effect that you really want.
Right. And that recovery time, I mean, maybe this is just something that I've seen or something, but the recovery time is that you see people like go jump in the lake after they take a sauna or they roll in the snow. Is that something that's traditional to Finland, or is that something that's made up here in the United States? And is there when you're recovering after your sauna, are you supposed to do that at room temperature, or is it just everybody's personal preference?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, there's a lot of controversy over the cold therapy in relationship to the hot that you get from the sauna. I grew up with my father having a cabin on a lake in the UP, and man, we had a trail that was blasted through the snow and through the woods that went from the sauna to the lake, right? And of course, Finland and a lot of northern climate countries in Europe, I mean, there's a lot of water, a lot of lakes. And so, yeah, the sauna to the lake, the sauna to the cold, whether it's even out in the air. I mean, I was in my sauna last night was 180 degrees inside and it was 5 degrees outside.
Right.
You don't need to roll in the snow. You just need to stand out there and look at the gorgeous stars, and you are getting that differential in temperature response from your body, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I remember, you know, my wife and I were still dating, and we go up to our camp up in the UP, and, you know, I said, okay, after sauna, you got to go sit in the snow. Well, I'm not going to go do that. Well, eventually she did, you know, because that's what you do, right?
Right, right.
You know, and so some people will carry that on, and they will roll in the snow, and I've done that as well, but... and now the big thing nowadays is the cold ice baths and the ice plunges. And you know, all of that is really working at different extremes in your body and how they respond to that. You know, when you go into an ice bath plunge, your body responds in different ways and does different things within the muscles and the enzymes within your body. So, it really is kind of up to how people really want to get the effects of that type of therapy, whether it's hot or cold.
Sure. And I'm sure this is all whatever, friends to friends, family to family. But in general, is it all the women go first and then all the men, or vice versa? Or is it a mixed group, or is that just every possible option?
It really is up to the family on what they do. I've installed saunas where... I remember this one I did up way up north by New Richmond, and I'm finishing off the benches inside of this, and I hear these little footsteps coming behind me, and there was four little children, 3, 4, and 5 years old, and they could not wait for me to get it all done because they were so excited about sauna, right? And so that whole family would go in together. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes you will have just, you know, the women go in or just the girls go in. And it also depends on the culture in your own life, in your own family, right? I've made saunas for people in their basements, and they would say, well, you know, I want it big enough for our whole family. And so when we start talking about that, it's like, okay, how old are your children? And well, I've got a 17-year-old son and I got a 15-year-old daughter. And I asked them, I said, so, do you think you guys really are going to sauna all together? And then they're thinking about, well, I said, more than likely your son is going to have his buddies. Mm-hmm. Your daughter's going to have her girlfriends together. and it's going to be you and your husband going in there.
Right.
And so as they start thinking through how their family dynamics are, along with bathing in the sauna, oftentimes will affect the design because of, we don't need it to put in seven people, which is a big sauna with a big heat source and an expensive project. We can go smaller because we know that we're going to go in smaller groups at different temperatures with different wants in the sauna.
Right. Well, that's terrific, Joel. Thanks for all your information. We're going to take a quick station break here. You are listening to WDRT in Viroqua, 91.9 FM. You're listening to the show Conversations. And today we're talking with Joel from Soulful Saunas. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Talking with Joel from Soulful Saunas, and we did a nice job, Joel. Thanks of covering the traditions behind saunas and the history and that sort of thing. Now let's talk a little bit more about your business itself, because you mentioned like you're doing one in the UP, you're doing one in New Richmond, you're doing one. So you must have quite a range that you're traveling to install these. Impressive. So tell us more about your facilities here in the area and your typical day.
Yeah, well, thank you. So sauna design is a lot like remodeling your kitchen in many ways. And I talk to folks about that because this is a personal space. It is centered around how your lifestyle is, how you're going to use it, how much time do you have. I've had people come to me who want a traditional wood-fired sauna outside, you know, changing room, they want all these things. And so we just start talking about their family. Well, come to find out, they got three or four kids that are busy. They got one that's in hockey. They've got one that's in basketball. And so I'm like, how much time are you going to spend getting firewood, chopping firewood, managing the fire? The fire takes a little bit of time to manage. And so helping them to understand the dynamic of what happens within a traditional sauna and the time that is required helps people to make a decision based around making a sauna that fits into their lifestyle that they'll be able to use. And so busy people, you can still have an outside sauna, get a traditional experience. We can put in a wood stove. We can now do Wi-Fi systems, so you can turn it on when you're on your way home from work, and it's hot when you get there. We can put in Bluetooth sound systems, LED lighting under the benches, LED lights in the ceilings. I just delivered one up to Holman that had soffit lights on the outside to illuminate the outside of the building, as well as porch lighting. You know, I tell folks that, you know, some of that I built today are no longer my grandfather's saunas because
he didn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, he didn't have Wi-Fi. No. And so we really are very diverse in our building, where I love to build the traditional saunas, which are log structure, 6x8, big log, wood-fired stove, cedar lined with heavy insulation, so you really have great heat retention. You have wonderful steam because you've got a big wood stove. Changing rooms, windows. We're doing a lot of windows now. All of our windows are thermal pane, tempered glass, because they're basically a bathhouse, and so you really want to make sure that the glass is safe. The one I delivered up in Holman had basically the whole one wall was all glass, three pieces of glass, 27x7 feet tall. And it is an amazing building. And so we can go from a very traditional log structure to now ones that are in basements that have granite on the walls, tile flooring. And so also doing LP stoves. Gas stoves that are very popular, and I've installed half a dozen around here People will use them in like rental property, Airbnbs,
right,
where they don't want the customers to mess with a wood stove,
yep,
but they still want a very good heat and steam experience, because the LP stoves have a large rock basket on top. So you're putting another 100, 125 pounds of stones on top. And so you have a lot of volume of steam and you have a good temperature, but you don't have to have anybody mess with the fire. And it's little, and you get a better heat volume than you do with an electric stove. Electric stoves are wonderful. I mean, they allow you to have smaller saunas because the stove itself, the heat rises directly out of the top of the stove. It doesn't emit from the sides of the stove. Where an LP stove and a wood stove, you have to have larger safety clearances around,
okay,
them. Typically, a wood stove takes up about 3 square feet of any room. So when people say, well, I want to have, you know, a small sauna for three people. Okay, you can put three people in a small 4x4 sauna, but you can't put the wood stove in there because all of a sudden the wood stove is 3 square feet. Now, you can get smaller wood stoves, but then those come with smaller heat outputs. And so there's a balance between size that we have to understand. So when it comes to design, there are many, many different things. You know, people say, well, how much for a sauna for four people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I go back to the remodeling your kitchen analogy, okay? What kind of handles do you want on your doorknobs?
Okay.
What kind of species of wood do you want? How big of a bench do you want? So I've developed a design form, a questionnaire that's on our website. And so people can go there, they can open up this design form, and they use it as a discussion tool with their family to say, okay, where are we going to have it? Inside, outside, how big is it going to be? What do we want as far as windows, benches, what kind of heat source? And so they work through those variables of the design before it comes to me. Then once they send that to me, I have a phone call with the family and we go through the particulars. Because up until that point, I can only give you a range of cost.
Right.
I don't know anything, right? And it's not really helpful for anybody. But once I have more details, I can then start to sketch this out and communicate on options, the value of those options, what they're going to get out of it. And then we can start narrowing it down into a proper quotable scope of a project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. Right.
Sure. And looking at your website, it looks like you do both a fully manufactured and delivered outdoor sauna,
mm-hmm,
and you build on site? Am
correct.
I right there?
That's correct, yeah. Oh. Yeah, the majority of what we have done has been outbuildings, and so I have a shop here in town in Viroqua that is relatively large, and so we could build a complete outbuilding, 6 by 8 feet wide, 16 feet long, gable roof, any kind of roof, and then we put them on a shed hauling trailer. And I have a contractor here in town that's a very experienced shed hauler, and he has helped me out in the past 3.5 years, gone to places like downtown Minneapolis with a log sauna, to all the way to the UP or to, you know, he's even brought one out to Virginia for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I've just quoted one to go to Nebraska. So so the outbuildings are pretty nice, and the customer only has to prepare a platform. It can be cement, it can be gravel, it just has to be level and compacted, and give us room to get the truck and trailer in there, and we basically slide it off and get it all leveled. And for a wood-fired sauna without electricity, they're using it that night.
You know?
I have one going to north of Rockford this week. Traditional wood-fired sauna, no electricity. The lady doesn't want any electricity. She actually brought me reclaimed windows from an old cooler door.
Okay.
So they're thermal pane, tempered glass. And so my partner is quite the wood crafter, and so he makes the frames for those. And so then we put in what's called a candle window in the mid wall. So you have a wall between the hot room and the changing room. We put a candle in there, a candle room window, which is basically about 12 by 20 with a big shelf on it. And so people can put a candle on that shelf, illuminates light both into sides. Both rooms.
Yeah.
And plus the wood stoves that I use, they're traditionally they come out of northern Minnesota, and they have a window in the door of the stove, and so it illuminates firelight. So you have the firelight from the stove, and you have the candle window, and really, you know, other than hauling some water for your own use, that sauna is ready to go very traditionally.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And do you use, you know, whatever, like pine logs, or do you use manufactured logs, or is that part of the options too?
Well, so 80% of our materials for our saunas come within 30 miles from here.
Oh, my goodness.
So I incorporate, I use a lot of the Amish mills around here. Yeah. So the logs typically are white pine, and they come from somewhere in Wisconsin. They are sawn up in Cashton, and then there's another Amish mill that is a log home builder, but he has the machine that they use for creating the log profile. So it cuts the tongue and groove on it, and it smoothens out the log. And so I use two different style logs, a 6x8 log or a 4x6 log. They're great saunas. They just give a different look. So the 6x8 log looks a little more rustic and a little more outdoors-ish, where a 4x6 log has a finer line to it. It looks great in backyards of even, you know, regular neighborhood stuff. Even the cedar that I use, I will go through about 4,000 linear feet of cedar a month. And so that comes from local. Now, the lumber comes from the West Coast, but it's machined and purchased locally. My roofing, metal roofing, comes from, you know, an Amish roofing company over in Soldiers Grove. So other than the wood stove, which is Minnesota, and if I'm doing electric systems, then so much of that comes out of, the stoves come out of Finland, and the electronics are from the U.S. Even the LP stove is U.S. made. There's one up in the UP that I use, or there's another one that comes out of the West Coast. But all the flooring, all of the 2x4s, all of that stuff I get locally. And part of my philosophy, or our philosophy, is that we wanted to keep as much business local as we could.
Wow.
I think it's just a better way to do business.
Right. And sticking to talking about outdoor installations, mm-hmm. is there any rhyme or reason to it's like it's mostly wood stoves, or it's mostly electric or gas, or is it spread out quite evenly between all of them?
No, it's mostly wood stoves. When people, I believe the perception around an outdoor sauna is the wood stoves. Now, from a purist sauna perspective, the wood stove gives, in my opinion, a better heat, gives a better steam, gives a higher volume of steam. But yet I've done a fair amount of outbuildings with electric systems because people want the outdoor experience, they want the outdoor cooling, but they don't want the wood stove with all that it takes to manage that.
Right.
You know, I put in a fair amount on people's back decks where it's right outside of their sliding glass door of their house. So they have the house as their changing room, the hot outside and the hot sauna, and then the cool outside to use, you know, put some next to pools, just lovely stuff.
Cool. And then let's change the conversation from an outdoor installation to an inside installation. So what are the realities of doing it inside? I would think, you know, you got to have drainage. You got to have, am I right? You got to have, you know, you're dealing with the humidity created by the sauna. So what considerations does a homeowner have to have if they're thinking they want to have one inside?
Yeah. Well, great question. Now, the first thing is the drain. So typically, you don't really need a drain.
Oh,
because, a sauna, you have dry heat, and then you have what's called steam saunas. So steam saunas are typically 60% humidity all the time. all the time. So you constantly have this air vapor in there. What happens with a traditional sauna with the radiant heat is that the heat is typically dry. So when you turn your sauna on, you might have a 17 to 20% humidity in the room, which is just normal. And as you put water on the stove and it creates the luili, then your humidity is going to spike a little bit, but then it's going to subside because it's going to dry back out again. It'll be absorbed by some of the wood. So you really don't, and if you put too much water on your stove, what's going to happen is, especially on an inside one, you're typically, I've only installed one wood-fired indoor sauna, and that's only because they had a Class A chimney system built into their house.
Okay.
And their house was built that way. I did not hook it up. I said, I'll build you the sauna. I'll put the stove in there. You have to have your chimney people come and hook it up because I don't know what's up there. I don't want that liability. So typically it's an electric system. And so I will build them inside of the homes. I will run the wiring in the wall. I can't do the wiring because I can't do the final connection. I'm not a licensed electrician. Even though I'm a licensed home inspector, I know enough about how to run the wire, how to make it safe, how to do all that stuff. So then they have to bring an electrician and have it hooked up, you know. But typically an electrician will come in for about an hour, hook up the breaker panel, hook up two sets of wires inside of the sauna, and it's ready to go. Steam wise or humidity wise, I do put venting in all of our saunas. So typically you have a cold air vent that's lower near the stove, and there's a lot of controversy out there about where the other vents go. Okay. And I grew up, you know, with a Finnish sauna that they had a vent at the top of the ceiling, and the Finns call that the luukku. So you'd open the luukku and the heat would go out. Well, what happens is, for a healthy sauna, you want to have the air circulate in that sauna 6 to 7 times an hour. So how do you do that? Well, if you have a vent at the ceiling in the back of the sauna, the air will rise, go across the ceiling, and go right out. It's not circulating in the room. So what I do is I put a smaller vent underneath the top bench in the opposite corner of the stove. So that way there, as the heat rises from the stove, it creates high pressure in the room. It forces a small amount of air out that vent underneath the bench. And so it creates the circulation within the room. More air comes in, it rises, and it circulates around and goes back out again. Rarely is there any amount of humidity that's even noticeable that comes out of the sauna, because it is primarily in the upper portion of the building or in the sauna space. Your body breathes some of it. It resides within the wood. And you typically are not putting a whole lot of water on, especially on an electric stove. The more you put on, it's not going to benefit you to have more heat. It can either cool off the stove or it'll just run out the bottom. And you don't want to do that. So you find out over time how to, what's the right amount to put on and at the right frequency to give you the steam, the loyally experience that you really want to have.
That you're looking for. Okay. Yes. And what about maintenance? You know, it would seem, again, maybe I'm misreading this, but with the humidity, you have to worry about mold or something like that, or isn't that part of it?
Typically not. So so we primarily, we will use cedar on the hot room all the way. We also use an aluminum foil protective barrier between the 2x4s of the structure and the cedar. So when we build it, we put the 2x4s, we insulate in between, and then we put this heavy gauge foil on the entire room, and we tape all the seams. And so what that does is it reflects the heat back into the room. So then you put the cedar on top of that, right? And so the cedar is by nature a very dry wood. It doesn't rot. It doesn't, you know, very rarely does it. Even our benches are made out of cedar. The backrests are made out of cedar. The handrails around the stove are cedar. And so, again, you're not putting in a ton of moisture in there. And with the wood stoves, what happens is once you are done with your sauna and you turn the stove off, you have 500 pounds of rock and steel that's going to take 4 to 5 hours to cool off. It dries the room. Right.
Right.
And so, even with electric stoves, you could have a you can turn your stove back on a little bit when you're done and allows the air to circulate in the room and dries the room.
Right.
So very little cleaning has to be done, little mild soapy water, typically on the bottom benches where you step. If you sit on benches, I tell people, you know, especially with my portable, no bare butts on the benches.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the backrest, you can take and tuck a little towel in behind it. And so then it's cooler to lean against and it keeps the wood cleaner, because you will eventually put sweat marks on the walls. That's just what happens. Your body's sweating,
right,
and you lean on it. And I've even gotten to the point where I've had to sand my walls in my portable, because, you know, it's used by many people.
Sure.
And in order to make it nice and clean. Right?
So there's no finish to it. You don't shellac it.
No, you don't put any finish inside of the sauna.
Well,
no.
I suppose there's toxins or something that you'd worry about off-gassing and things.
Right. So. Absolutely. And all of my buildings, I do not use any plywood. I don't use any OSB. I don't use any CDX. I do not use any glues or caulking on the inside, because I don't believe that they have any place to be in a sauna. I use all solid wood on the floors, solid wood on the ceilings. It's all solid wood. I don't use any, and I try not to put on it on outside buildings. I try not to do any like vinyl siding, but I've made some because
match
I've,
the house.
I've had customers that their HOA says it has to match.
Right.
So it's got to match the roof, and it's got to match the roof pitch, and it's got to match the siding. And so I've done that.
Sure.
You know, if there's a conversation to have, I'll tell people about it. But even like smart siding is basically, it's an OSB product, which is glue and small pieces of wood made to look like real wood, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah. So,
well, again, thank you, Joel, for all the information you're sharing with us today. Quick station break. You are listening to WDRT in Viroqua. The name of the show is Conversations. It's heard every Thursday at 9 a.m. here at 91.9 FM. And if you can't catch it, or you want to share an interesting show like this one with a friend, you can always find it in our archives at wdrt.org. Conversations, like I said, is a weekly program. It's done with a revolving group of hosts like myself, talking to a revolving mess of people from the area, and it's always something fascinating. So we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We are talking saunas on a cold December day here in Viroqua. I think it was a big old zero on the thermometer when I got out of bed this morning.
Perfect sauna weather.
Perfect sauna weather. Every bit of
weather. Every day is a sauna day.
Every day is a sauna day. We're talking with Joel from Soulful Saunas and learning everything there is to know about saunas. And so, Joel, if... I know you do a rental, so tell me about that. I mean, it's a great way to try to see if that's, you know, what you want to do, build a sauna. So is a rental something that's popular?
Yes, it's getting more and more popular. And it was something that I wanted to do early on when we started this business. And I first started off, I bought a portable chicken coop.
Hmm.
There was a guy over by Liberty somewhere selling this 8x12. It was the right size. And it was a building on top of a trailer, and that's what I wanted. And so I bought this thing and took it to my shop and started rebuilding it, and I ended up rebuilding the entire thing. And so I basically had this trailer. So I put a sauna on it, and it was a full-size wood stove, windows, everything. And that was the first year that I took it to the fair, the Vernon
okay.
County Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in 2021. And so after the fair, I brought it over to the Viroqua tire shop because I needed new tires. Well, come to find out, they couldn't get the tires off and the axles weren't any good. So the trailer basically was no good. So I ended up selling the sauna off the top of it, scrapping out the trailer. And so then I bought a trailer that they use for making ice fishing houses.
Okay.
So it raises and lowers. It's called a raising trailer. And so I put a sauna on top of that. And I've been running that around the county for the past 3.5, almost 4 years. And it has proven to be a very good place for people to experience it, for me to use it as a sales tool as well.
Sure.
I bring it to the county fair. I bring it to the Westby Ski Tournament, which was another thing on my sauna business bucket list, was because I grew up, my hometown had a ski jumping tournament in Ishpeming called Suicide Ski Hill. And so some of those Ishpeming jumpers still come to Westby, which is fun. So I bring it there, and you know, it's perfect environment for the sauna. And on my website, people are able to go and reserve it on the website. So there's a calendar on there. There's a way to pay for it on there. And this year has been the busiest that I've had. A lot of week-long rentals. It goes to different families for deer season opening weekend.
Oh, good idea.
One family said they got 25% more deer because the sauna was there.
That's the kind of performance we're looking for.
Obviously, it sharpened up their eye, right? So they could get the target better. And people will use it to experience what is it like? What's all this about? And it really has been a wonderful way for people to get into it, to experience the traditional sauna with the wood fire. And I do have electrical hookups in there, so people are able to use electric lights or not if they want. It can be very remote. I've hauled it, you know, to Northern La Crosse County, down to Richland Center, over to the river. And so I've been all over with it. And it really is proven to be a pretty nice tool to use.
And that's a wood-fired?
It's wood-fired stove. Okay. It's a full-size sauna, just like you would have in your backyard, which means that it's also very heavy. So it takes a fair amount to move it around, but I do that well. And I have to be careful sometimes of the roads. You know, I go to some rental properties over by the river down in these coulees, and, you know, I shouldn't really be here with this thing.
Right? Icy roads and slipping and sliding.
Yeah, but I've been pretty fortunate, and, you know, you just be cautious with it. But that has worked out really well.
And you always deliver it, so
I deliver it.
People don't have to worry about, is my truck big enough or that sort of thing.
I deliver it. I pick it up. I bring firewood.
Oh.
And if they're unfamiliar with the fire, then I teach them how to use it. And once they use it, it's pretty quite easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gone to bachelorette parties. It's gone to wedding parties. It's gone to, you know, Christmas parties. It's going to a family up on Salem Ridge Road for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
It's a great idea.
So it's really a great tool. And when it's not rented, I use it because it's a lovely little sauna. It heats up fast. It gives great heat.
How many people does it fit?
You could put 5 in there, you know, like any sauna, right? I mean, how close do you want to be next to somebody who's naked and sweaty?
Right. Well, yeah, that's a good litmus there. So interesting. Well, that's cool. And that you said you just go on your website to look, see when it's available kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a calendar on there. So you just go to the button that says rental, and it'll take you there, and you can see it's all color-coded and everything. So that helps worked out pretty well.
Nifty. And what I was doing some reading, what's an infrared sauna? What is that?
Well, so infrared saunas are light therapy. So instead of like the wood stove or the electric stove, that's radiant heat, right? And so it's creating energy through radiation that actually, you know, is absorbed into your body. Well, the infrared is basically a light bank that produces surface heat. And so they can be really small. You can have one that you can sit in it just by yourself, almost like a phone booth, right? But they don't get very hot. And I can't speak on them as well because I'm not an expert. I've never even been in one. I've had a lot of people ask if I would put them together, and I really ever haven't. So, but they're not even in the same kind of realm of benefits and heat that comes from from their energy source.
So you're saying your Finnish grandpa wouldn't approve?
Is that... No. Otto Koskinen would not think that's a good idea.
he would frown on that.
Yeah. There would be some Finnish words that he would use that I probably couldn't put on the radio.
Well, we better move on from that then. We're getting into the weeds here a little bit. But what about a sauna versus a whirlpool?
Well, there again, so the whirlpool, you're resting your body in this bath. And, you know, there are different effects that happen when you're in a hot bath of water versus in a hot room of air. I think one of the bigger benefits that comes out of the sauna is the steam and how it lands on your body and how it is absorbed into your body. Well, the hot tub doesn't have that. I mean, it has warm water that encases your body, and yes, it works on your muscles and all that, but the steam and the heat of how it is presented to the body, your body responds differently, much differently in the sauna, right?
Okay.
And I've had a fair amount of customers who have, I've had a few that would say, we're going to take out our hot tub because we really think that a sauna is a better thing.
It is.
You know, and it's, again, it's for, it's everybody is what they think is best for them.
Sure.
Right? I mean, if somebody wants an infrared sauna, I'm not going to be the one to convince them. It's what they want to do. I'm glad that they're doing something that will help benefit themselves.
And how long, so whether it's a rental or you install one, let's focus on the wood part of it. How long of a time does it take to get it fired up and to the temperature? Is that 15 minutes, an hour and a half? What, you know, once you get used to it, I'm sure there's a learning curve at first. But
sure.
What do you have to plan like on?
Well, great question. So three drivers of that is one, outside air temperature, right? Number two is your fuel source, so the type of wood, the quality of the wood, and the size of the space. So typically I will build a sauna that the hot room, where the stove is about 7 feet square and about 7 feet tall. Now, the reason for that is it's big enough for most people to lay down in, and we typically put our top benches at about 36 inches, which means that a person sitting on that top bench, they will put their head, what we call two fifths of space between the head and the ceiling. So you don't have a lot of wasted space of the hot air and the luli up in the top. Okay. And so if you go bigger, it's more space to heat, right? And so on an outside temperature like today, if you're starting off with your sauna being 20 degrees inside and you have good wood, you'll be able to heat that in about an hour, hour and 15 minutes to 150, 160 degrees. If you have wet wood that doesn't give you very much power out of it,
mm-hmm.
It's going to take longer, right? 50 degrees inside on a cool autumn day, you're going to get it up there in 45, 50 minutes with good wood. So you learn to look at the outside temperature, keep your wood prepared, use kindling, use smaller pieces of wood. You know, if you're chucking the wood stove at home for a nighttime shutdown, you're going to put in big wood because you want it to burn slowly.
Sure.
The sauna, you want to get hot, so you use smaller pieces of wood. You know, birch is good. Hardwood, we have a bunch of hardwood around here. Slab wood, be careful of the slab wood only because there's a lot of bark on slab wood. The bark doesn't give you any value. It gives you a lot of ash from a heat perspective. So, but there's a lot of red oak around here. There's a lot of hardwood around here. Even black locust, which is a weed, is dynamite wood because it has a very high BTU output rating. So keep it dry, keep it covered. Don't make it too big, and you'll have a good hot fire in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Really key.
Well, and the firebox, generally, is there one size that you use for the wood burners, or are there multiple size stoves you can install?
Well, the stoves that I use that come out of northern Minnesota, which are kind of the cream of the crop when it comes to stoves, they're one of the only stoves that have an underwriter laboratory label because they've been tested. Mm-hmm. They typically will take a 17-inch piece of wood. Okay. So your typical wood stove is 16 inches, you know. But there are other stove manufacturers that, you know, don't have as big because they're trying to make them lighter. They're trying to make them a little cheaper. The company I buy from, it's all quarter-inch plate steel. I mean, it's a heavy wood stove, and it's designed to be a high performer and a lifetime user. I mean, you buy one of these stoves, your kids will be using it, you know, in their next generation.
Sure.
I mean, that's really the goal is not to, these aren't throwaway things. These are investments in your lifestyle, in your home, in, you know, your property. Mm-hmm. So they're worth putting the extra work into these items to make them wonderful.
Yeah, make it quality up front. Buy once, cry once. Isn't that what they said?
Yeah. And that comes down to the budget, because a lot of people will come to me with a budget. Some people will come to me with, I don't know how much I'm supposed, or, you know, how much I can. And so I work with all those different avenues of, you know, I've only got this much. Okay, here's what we can do. Let's work through it. Right. Mm-hmm. And figure out, you know, maybe a smaller window, maybe, you know, different things. So I try to work with all aspects of folks' financial, because it is an investment.
Reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great. We got a few minutes left. What are we forgetting to talk about, Joel?
Well, you know, people think, I want to reiterate that, you know, saunas have been a healthy aspect to people's lives for thousands of years. And the benefits of, you know, of stress release, especially nowadays with our climate, the way we see it in the world, you know, everybody can benefit from having a source of stress relief that, especially if it's in your own home, it's in your backyard, you can manage it, you can control it. Before you know it, you're going to start to really want to have that sauna. You know, I know for me, if I go more than 3 days without a sauna, I'm like, I'm needing it, because I do it 5 days a week at least. I'm in the sauna all the time, even in the summer. And so the benefits to help us cope with the world, our own lives as we see it, is a wonderful tool. And and I would like folks to, you know, think about it from that perspective. You feel differently. You will look at the world differently. And it's just because you're sitting in a hot room with steam, you know, that really helps you to kind of work through all of that stuff.
Sore
muscles, you know. I mean, I'm a pretty physical guy with building this stuff, and it really does help when, you know, we're building a big log one, and you're hefting up logs up to the 10th course, and it's, you know, 7.5 feet off the floor. And, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. And so every once in a while, it's like, okay, that one pulled a little bit, and I need to just, you know, get in the sauna.
Sure.
You know.
And how do folks get a hold of you, Joel? Or what's your website?
So website is soulfulsaunas.net. Our search engine works really well. Local number is 608-632-3126. We've been in Viroqua 20 years, and we build them right here. Again, our products, all raw materials come from local sources, local people, and that's really how we want to keep it.
Perfect. Well, again, Joel, thanks for joining us today. What a pleasure to learn more with you about saunas, and thanks, folks, for listening.
Thank you, Steve.